Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Grace this morning. Obviously, I'm not Pastor Brad. That kind of shows. But he had a district meeting Friday and Saturday, and we just told him that use today to come back at your leisure, and we'll take over. And we're kind of giving him a long overdue away from the routine of Sunday morning here. So with that, we have some announcements in the back here. This week at Grace, he'll be back on Wednesday for Bible study. And then at 9:15, we have prayer group again. You find a prayer card in the pew, fill it out, put it at the plate, it'll be prayed for. And then he's got at 10 o'clock, he'll be on an online district meeting again. On Thursday, Grace Youth, they're going to go to the county fair the way it looks, so in Fergus. And we got a Gideon booth there, so I hope every one of them pass by there and grab a testament.
I can make that happen.
Thank you. Awesome. That's what it's all about. That's why we do it, you know. So super, super. We have some birthdays. We'll pray for them a little bit later. Next Sunday, we'll have morning worship, 10, just like we always do. In July, Mission of the Month is a THIP Priathine benefit. And kind of a bad situation there. We're trying to help. And we got some thank yous here, too. Thank you for everybody that came to the concert and helped at the concert last Wednesday evening. And those who served after worship last Sunday. Any other announcements that should be done? Cool.
On behalf of the Hodgsville Cemetery Committee, we're asking that if you want your artificial flowers or memorabilia that sits on the ground, not on the stone, but sit on the ground, that you please get them out of there. They are going to be removed this week.
Okay.
July 15th is the deadline.
That's over at the cemetery.
Pardon?
That's over at the cemetery. Bagshold, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? Okay, we'll turn the corner here like Brad says. Oh yeah, we forgot to announce the weather. Brad always does that. Beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning here. We got rain. We just can't leave that out. So we just got to include that. All right. Let's open our service this morning in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll have a moment of silence now to prepare ourselves for worship.
Good morning. It's great to see you all here, and I'd like to invite you to join in our opening song. You can see it up on the screen, and the song is No, Not One.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one, and yet
worship this morning is a responsive reading found in the book of Psalm. It's Psalm 27, verses 1 through 5. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
When the wicked advance against me to devour me, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear.
Though the war break out against me, even then I will be confident.
One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek,
that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life,
to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple.
For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling.
He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent
and set me high upon a rock.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we have received from you forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation. Grant us one thing more, a thankful heart. Fill us with an irrepressible gratitude as you did the saints before us, who, having been forgiven much, loved much. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
I'll ask any praise singers who are in attendance to join me up front to turn to the hymn titled When Morning Gilds the Skies. It's hymn number 546 in the green hymnal or as seen on the screens.
May Jesus Christ be praised. That's why we're here today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God,
we
are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us. Mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please join me in reciting the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day that he rose again, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
God's peace to each and every one of you.
Readings today come from both the New Testament, Colossians 1, chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. The supremacy of the Son of God. The Son is the image of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were the enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation, if you continue in your path, established and firm, and do not move from the hope you held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. The second reading is from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, at home with Mary, or Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made, and she came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." We have prayers of the church. Lord Jesus Christ, you reign as Lord on both sides of the grave. While we look for the resurrection that is to come, we also pray for those who are dead toward you today, may hear your voice and awaken to life eternal. Lord, in your mercy. God of peace, we pray for the people of Ukraine. We pray for peace. We pray for those who fear for tomorrow, that your spirit of comfort would draw near to them. We pray in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you feed the birds and clothe the lilies. Forgive our distrust of your fatherly care and our anxious concern for temporal needs. By your Holy Spirit, direct us to live for the hallowing of your name, the coming of your kingdom, and the doing of your will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give you thanks, O Lord, for seed and soil, the sunshine and showers, and above all, for life and growth from you. We pray for seasonable weather, that the earth may yield its fruits to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Church, we ask for your mercy, O Lord, for your persecuted church who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for the sake of your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Jeff. Martha, Martha, how many times have we been a Martha? You know? But few things are needed. Indeed, only one, and that's Jesus Christ. The time has come, about halfway through here, as Pastor Brad says, it's time for to stand up and greet your neighbor. We got kids here this morning. We're going to have a little chat up here, so if you want to come on up, Dacia's here with the goodies. We're going to give you kind of a double dose this morning. We're going to give each one of you a copy of God's Word of your own. So with that, hi there, guys. How you doing? Good? Wonderful. You know, we got different colored testaments here. These are little testaments that God's Word is in every one of them, you know? And it's the same. Even if they're this color or this color, God's Word is all the same. And you know, the best part of it is that we can go in the front part, and we have troubles as life goes on. As you get older, things happen. And I've experienced it already because I'm way older than you guys. Way older, you know? But, you know, sometimes we get lonely. Sometimes we have fear. Sometimes there's things that we can't really get a hold of. So we can go in here and just find that problem. And that'll direct us where to find the answer. God has an answer for every one of our problems. Every one. Because we can read in Ephesians, I forget the exact place, but it says, earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. And that is so true that God promises that he can fix every problem we have. Every problem. So I gotta have my notes here. Oh my gosh. See, I'm nervous. Anyway. But it just, and also, good thing I got notes. Because in Matthew 19, verse 14, when you get home, look that up. Because Jesus talks right to the children. He tells us, let the little children come unto me. And don't hinder them, because they belong to the kingdom of God. Just think of that. You belong to God's kingdom as children. You know? Isn't that awesome? Just to be thinking about that. So, and Jesus, and back in Sunday school, I remember when I was about that high, we learned a song, Jesus Loves Me. And I'm sure you've done the same already. But it was just, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know. Why? Because the Bible tells me so. It just does, you know? And that's how great our God and Jesus is. So should we have a prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, just be with these children of yours, Lord. Accept them into your kingdom as you say you have. Be with them and guide and direct them through life, and let them not go astray someday, Lord. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Here, you can have each whatever color you want. If there's somebody at home that you need one for, take one for them too. You know? All right. Have some candy here too. Can't forget that. Yeah.
Good morning. Most of you don't know what Lori and I went through over 30 years ago. So I want to tell you. It was July 27th, 1991, and my dad told me that we were out combining that day but got rained out. And I had told Lori and our son Tyler that we were going to go up on the highway and load up some of the big round bales that we had baled up earlier, and a lot more rain was forecast, and I didn't want any laying in the bottom of the ditch. You're going to hear me say coincidentally a few times, and I'm going to just preempt that by telling you It's God's will. It was God's will, coincidentally, that our little six-year-old daughter was with her aunt and her cousin and wasn't here for this. I had told Lori and Tyler to hop in the one tractor. I had a couple racks behind it. It had a cab on it. It was raining still. And they drove up. I followed them with the open station tractor. That means no cab on it. And I had a raincoat. I put it over the back of me. And I had been in construction for 15 years already. And I knew all about gravity. I knew how to handle every situation. So I was loading the four bales. I was so careful driving up out of the ditch, putting them on the hay rack, and I put the fifth one up on top of those four. And that fifth bale just went like this. And I said, that is not going to make it home. So I went back and speared it and brought it back. And as I brought it back, the back tire of the tractor went over the edge of the road. And with that bale all the way up in the air, it started tipping. And I'm okay still. I'm okay with this because I've thought this through my whole life. I'm gonna stay ahead of the tractor. I'm gonna stay ahead of it as it's rolling. I'm gonna just keep walking and staying ahead of it. The next thing I knew, I was being crushed. I asked Lori months later, what happened? She said, that stupid raincoat that you had on hooked on the seat and flung you to the ground, then the tractor landed on top of you. I'm gonna take some time and tell you some of the things that you've heard about when you die, that your life flashes in front of you. That's true. As it was crushing me, it all went into slow motion. How could this instant crush just be slow motion? I think your brain can't absorb all the information that's coming in. And so it just goes to slow motion. As right before I was being crushed, I remembered two things. I remembered the story that Jesus told in the Word of God about the Pharisee and the poor sinner. And the Pharisee told this prayer. He said, oh, thank you, Lord, for not making me like that poor sinner. I am so special. You should be happy to have me as your saint. And the poor sinner over on that side, he said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Just like we do every Sunday. Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. I said that. And when I was underneath that tractor, there was the peace of God. We've heard pastors talk about it, this peace that passes all understanding. I'm telling you, it's a peace that passes verbal explanation. It is the peace of God. In our reading, I caught that. In our reading today, was talk about the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace was there that day. I was okay whether I lived or died, because that peace was so magnetic. I just wanted to stay with it. This is speculation. I wonder if when we die, we get that same peace that brings us into glory. I wonder if that peace is part of glory. I don't know. But it was something. It was something. So I have been crushed from here to here. When I'm up here singing, don't look. But because this eye is now farther back in my face, I'm seeing four things that I'm trying to read two lines, and I'm seeing four lines. That's why I've got to use my finger to try and keep me straight. And every once in a while I get on the wrong word. Please excuse me. So I was under the tractor. Lori pulled me out. My son was along. He knew how to shut that tractor off. Even though it was sitting there upside down, it was still running. He knew how to shut that off. I will tell a little bit more about what we did, but the first person there, coincidentally, was an off-duty policeman from Crookston that he took our son and drove him home a mile away to call 911. I know, we wouldn't do that today. But 30 years ago, we did. It was God's design to have that guy there, and Lori trusted him enough. She took Tyler. I'm sure you wanted to get him out of there. And Lori said she was scooping the blood out of my mouth so I could breathe. And the ambulance came, and they loaded me up. And a neighbor girl that was an EMT had driven out there. She heard it was out in her neighborhood, and she drove out in her own car and jumped in the back of the ambulance on our way to Fargo. Lori and I had talked. I can't imagine how I'm talking because my upper jaw is broke away from my skull. My lower jaw is broke. How am I talking? I have no idea. But Susie, the neighbor girl that was in the ambulance, on our way to St. Luke's, Lori and I said St. Luke's. There was this little boy that fell through the Red River 31 years ago. Alvaro Garza was his name, and they had this big deal about St. Luke's Medicare had this trauma unit. And both Lori and I, that's where we need to go. In the ambulance, the FM ambulance stopped us, and to give a blood transfusion started, and they said, take him to Dakota. And I'm hearing this. I said, St. Luke's. Oh, he's never going to make it to St. Luke's. Take him to Dakota. I said, St. Luke's, let's go. So you and I both know I can't be doing this. But I asked Susie, did I really say that? Yeah, you did. I knew you were going to be okay because you were still in there. And we did go to St. Luke's. We were there for 8 days. The last thing I remember was this doctor telling me, son, this is going to hurt. And he pushed a pubic catheter through my pelvis to get into my bladder. And he was right. That's about all I remember. We were there for 8 days. I remember feeling the wires up here coming out of my temples, and they were holding my whole face together. They put a trach in me because my face was so swollen I couldn't get any air through anywhere here. And 2 months later, when I finally came back to a little bit of reality, I can remember sticking my finger over my trach, and then through the wires I could talk the best that I could. I was happy to have that. Lori, I asked her just this morning, how did you get home? She said, I have no idea. She got home, mile away, Tyler was there. They jumped in the car. Let me go back. Lori had this premonition when they shut the ambulance door and she wasn't in there. She'd never see me alive again. She and Tyler were driving to Fargo, and she said a premonition, a divine note, said, if he's alive when you get there, he's going to make it. And Lori said, I just put the hammer down on that car. And I parked where the ambulances are supposed to drive into the hospital, left Tyler in the car. She ran in, passed the registration, passed the curtains, and hollered, is Greg Anderson still alive? And they said, yeah, but, and she walked back to the car, went and parked it. and had. Use that, there, use that term to get by the next months. Because I'm sure her faith was tested many times, and we're going to know about that. They flew us from St. Luke's Merit Care down to Hennepin County. There was two places in America that did this brand new procedure. So my pelvis was shattered, and this lung, the ribs broke through this lung. I had internal damages. They told Lori that there was this brand new, we've seen people with halos on their heads. They put a halo on my pelvis. It was out here. All the bone parts of the pelvis, they screwed a rod into it and then held it all together with that halo. And they told Lori that in a couple of weeks, I'd be up and walking if we did this surgery. Well, it was months later that I was finally up and walking. When we were down at Hennepin, Lori tells this story. I remember her asking me, but I couldn't figure out why she was asking me. The doctors had taken Lori to the side and told her, he's not going to make it. We're going to unplug him. And she said, give me a minute. And she walked over to me and said, how many kids do we have? And I held up this. And she walked back to the doctors and said, he's still in there. We're not going to unplug him. They did the first surgery where they put that halo on my pelvis, but they couldn't fuse that one of the, part of it was to fuse my pelvis and my spine together because they had been broke apart. I wasn't stable enough for them to do the complete surgery. So they only got the halo on and took me out and brought me back to the ICU. And Lori said over the next 2 weeks, I kept getting darker in my complexion and just was slowly dying. Things were shutting down and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. And an interim doctor asked if anyone had tried hydrocortisone. It is a drug that your adrenal gland makes that you need to keep going. My adrenal glands had hemorrhaged during the accident. And they gave me X amount of hydrocortisone. And Lori said the next morning when she came into the ICU, I was waving at her. And she, what in the world did you do? And they said, we gave him a shot of hydrocortisone. September 10th was the day that Lori's mom died. Not that same year, but a few years earlier. They were going to do the second surgery where they were going to fuse and screw my pelvis to my spine. And she says that she kept begging them, please, not on September 10th. They had no choice. They did it. All I can remember is I came back and I was so cold. Nothing would warm me up. I was frozen. I couldn't, they were throwing blankets on me, heated blankets. I couldn't warm up. That's all I remember. Going back to the talk, this is all personal. I was able to finally, in the end of September, I was getting cognizant of what had happened. People were telling me, Lori was telling me, and I just was able to say thank you, you know, to her. And I think they took the wires off down at Hennepin. I think that's when it was. Not sure. But I had them out when I came to Fargo. The middle of October, around the 20th of October, I was able to come to Dakota Hospital. I was living in a wheelchair. I could not put any weight on my legs. And I obliged. I just heard how bad this could be, so I obliged. I didn't walk. I had occupational therapy and another kind of therapy that I don't remember the name of. But 2 weeks at Dakota, and I came home, lived in a wheelchair for the duration. We got to go down to Hennepin. It was right around Thanksgiving. And for the first time in months, I actually got to stand up and I looked the doctor in the eye. I don't have the right words for the feeling. Living in a wheelchair changed my perspective. Looking someone eye to eye is so crucial for your connection with people. And I think when I talk to kids, you know, you go down and talk to them at eye level. Maybe that's it. But looking up at everyone was, I don't want to use the word demoralizing, but it didn't help my ability to think I was going to get out of this. I struggled with that. So it was a big deal to me to stand up for the first time, use crutches, and look in the doctor in the eye. There was a sense of happiness in this man. Christmas, we went down the second time, and for the first time in a half a year, I had permission to walk on both legs. And Merry Christmas. Yeah, I took it. February of that year, we went down to Rochester, and they did this newfangled surgery and reconnected a urethra for me. So I got rid of that pelvic catheter. Remember the hydrocortisone I didn't have? In May 12th of that year, I went back to work for the first time. And I had been meeting with this internal doctor, and he was setting me up with a shot that I could carry in my lunch pail. If I ever get the flu or something, you have to have that hydrocortisone. You have 8 hours to live without hydrocortisone. So he was going to set me up in my lunch pail that I could bring along, and if I started getting the flu and couldn't keep anything down, I could just get a shot of hydrocortisone. I came back from work that day, and my hydrocortisone pill was laying on the counter. And it was 10 hours ago. I called that doctor up in Fargo and told him, and he said, "You've got to get up here." And he called Mayo Clinic. They wanted me down there. So I had a CT scan of my adrenal glands, an MRI of my adrenal glands, and a biopsy of my adrenal glands, and that hurt. I had three proofs that my adrenal glands had hemorrhaged. Mayo Clinic discerned that my adrenal glands had rejuvenated. And the doctors said, "Wow, do you think they missed it?" I said, "No, I don't think they missed it." "Well, how can you account for your adrenal glands coming back to life?" I said, "You believe in miracles?" And he said, "Yeah, after being a doctor this long, I do." I said, that's the road I'm on. This is just another miracle that God gave me. I'm 66 years old. 31 years ago is when I rolled that tractor. When I finally came to my senses and realized God is probably going to give me a second chance on life, I said, I want to do it better. I want to do it better this time. In 4 more years, it'll be twice the lifetime since I rolled that tractor. I can't answer every question, but I can tell you I'm doing better. I'm a Gideon. I read God's word. I give him the glory. And every once in a while, we sing a little song. Statement that she said for most of her life was, God will not give me any more than I can't handle. And I'm sure she was close a few times with me.
You see how God works. There's a will, there's a way, and God has his way. He's got his will. Awesome. Thank you, Greg. Thank you.
cares for my soul.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we all have our times, as Greg mentioned, of healing. But you have your way, Lord. So protect us, those that are in need of healing, as we speak here today, Lord. In whatever situation, their endeavor, enduring, Lord. Be with them. And those with birthdays this week, Lord, Judy Souter, Gaylene Bader, Wyatt Milbeck, Shelley Fersanke, Art Wisprud, be also with them, Lord, as they've accomplished another year in their lives. Just help them through any problems, Lord. And Lord, just teach us the prayer that you have taught us to pray, Lord. Let us recite that in unison right now. Our Heavenly Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
I'd like to invite you to stand as our time this morning draws to a close, and let's sing together the new doxology.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, heavenly host. Praise
It's been so wonderful being together this morning in God's word and God's presence. I just have a little saying here that I have just loved all my life. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face, excuse me, and may the rains fall softly upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Amen. So I say, just go in peace and serve their gracious Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.